first one. It's that little, it like, you want me to play it? I can't hear when you play it. What'd you mean? Yeah, but did I sing it?
Yeah.
I did. I don't know. Oh, I might have skipped it because I wasn't able to hit that. Oh, you're holy. I don't know. But yeah. We'll do the original. Shut up, Kelly. Dang. Always talking trash. Put your mask on. All right. We plan for us to be the chorus, I guess, from right there. Which part? What's that? Oh. Second verse?
Doesn't it sound like it when you're singing over me? There's not a voice more constant. Your melodies, they never cease. Here I will stand in your presence. In my true identity, doesn't it sound like, yeah, it sounds like, just like heaven. Mm-hmm. Come a little closer, stay a little longer. Mm-hmm. I can't get enough of you. Oh, come a little closer, stay a little longer. Mm-hmm. I can't get.
Perfect father. That's right there. What?
I was just following after you. I was like, it's
how? Oh, that's, oh, that's. So like the mix, so we do that. Oh, I just can't get enough of you. Oh, enough of you. Oh, and you're holy, holy. You are holy. You're so perfect Father, I worship you forever. Holy, you are holy. I lay down any treasure for us to be. He's holy. Perfect Father, I worship you forever. Holy, you are holy. I lay down any treasure for us to be together. Oh, come a little closer, stay a little longer. I'm doing that wrong, aren't I? Because I think it's nothing like your nearness. It's nothing like your close. Yeah, because when I'm with you, I come alive, I come alive. Oh, heaven, come a little closer tonight. Oh, heaven, come. What about this set?
He holy, holy, you are holy. You're such a perfect Father. I worship you for it's holy. Holy, you are holy. I lay down any trap for us to be together. Holy, you are holy. You're such a perfect Father. I worship you forever. Holy, you are holy. I lay down any dread for us to be together.
I don't know, was that confusing? Because I did the actual, I don't know where it came from, but it just like, boom, all of it was in my head. It's like, and I practiced this song when we first was doing it over and over and over, and I couldn't get that part. And then all of a sudden, months later, it just go, boom, this is it. I was like, yeah, it was all the way back. Maybe my braids was too tight. Where y'all going? Four songs, child. My time. God. What's the last one? Last one is yeah.
It's your grace. It's your grace.
That's how you gotta sing like that, girl. Just open your mouth and just yell.
And our love.
So much power of that.
In our love.
This ain't the normal. What key did I have it in on here? Then I had it in C for Momo. It says Momo, so I know it was me. Yeah, it was in C for Momo. Play C, let me see, make sure. I sang it like that for years, so I know if I put a Momo key, it was the Momo key.
You give.
I'm waiting. See.
You are love. You bring light to the dark.
See, I can get up still and still sound like a girl.
that is broken. Great are you, Lord. Oh, yeah. Great are you, Lord.
Sorry.
You give life. You are love. Bring light to the darkness. You give hope. You restore every heart that is broken. Great are you, Lord. Oh, great.
I love you, bring love.
ready to go to bed.
What? I'm not lost.
Those little fills. I like that. Like, go.
single dream I lay each one down at your feet. Every moment of my wandering never changes what you see. I'll try to win this war, I confess. My hands are weary, I need your rest. Mighty warrior, king of the fight. No matter what I face, you're by my side. When you don't move the mountains, I'm needing you to move. When you don't part the waters, I wish I could walk through. When you don't give the answers, as I cry out to you, I will trust, I will trust, I will trust in you. Truth is, you know what tomorrow. We'll be right back.
with us, God, and we just ask you to reveal yourself. We've come for an encounter with you this morning. And so, God, we just give you a praise and we give you honor. In Jesus' name, and the church said, amen. Come on and shout it out. Hallelujah. Oh. Help me sing. I've searched the
Yeah.
hands together this morning. Church that we get loud and, you know, some people get a little upset. But this is just like heaven. This is practice. We will worship him for eternity. Hallelujah. So right now it's good practice. It's good. It's good. And to be in his presence is even better. Just like
just like it. Come a little closer, stay a little long. Don't kick it off of you. Oh, come a little closer, stay a little long. Oh, I can't get enough of you. Doesn't it sound like it? Singing over me, there's not a voice more constant. Your melodies, they never cease. So here I will stand in your presence, in my true identity. Doesn't it sound like, yeah, it sounds like, just like heaven. Ooh, come a little closer, stay here.
Oh, I feel the fullness of life.
want to join with the angels and say,
holy, you are holy. I lay down any treasure for us to be.
I lay down every crown.
Holy, you are holy. You're such a perfect God. I worship you.
Oh, it's holy.
Oh. I lay down any dread for us to be together.
Church, sing.
Holy,
sing it.
You are holy. You're such a perfect.
We worship you, Lord.
Holy, you are holy. I lay down every treasure for us to be.
Now, with a loud voice, everybody begin to worship and give him your praise. Give him your praise. Enter in. Enter in. Enter in. Enter in.
Father, we draw near to you, and the word says you draw near to us. We thank you for your presence. Thank you, Lord. There's such a shift in the atmosphere when you begin to worship God, and it happens whether you're on your own in your room just praying to the Lord, worshiping God, or whether you're in a group like this. But you can change the atmosphere, and the Bible says, draw near to me and I'll draw near to you. So you're as close to the Lord as you want to be, because you can be closer if you would go. Just come into his presence, and that's exactly how you do it. You just glorify him for who he is, what he's done. He's majestic. There's nothing like him. Come on, from your heart, just say, Lord, you're everything. You're everything. We want nothing but you. You're first. You're above all. You're the great I am. Magnificent Lord, for eternity we'll worship you. We join with the angels of heaven and we worship you. There's none like you. There's none like you. Come on, family. There's always a schedule to follow in church. Let me tell you, if you can just tap into the presence of God, everything else flows the way it's supposed to, right? This is a time in the service where we like to pray for you. There's a tangible presence of God, and we have a prayer team that know how to tap in and agree and stand in faith with you. So if there's anything you need prayer for, just step out of your seats during this last song. They'll be at the front. They'll pray for you. And I'm going to pray for those that are watching. Father, for those that are streaming now, those that are going to watch, Father, I just release the power of God into their lives, into their homes, into their bodies. Let them feel your anointing right now from the top of their head to the soles of their feet, driving out sickness, Satan, we take authority over you where you would come and hinder them. We break your power. We refuse to allow you to have access to the children of God. And everyone said, amen. Amen. So if you need prayer now, we're going to worship God with one more song. Just if you're not coming forward for prayer, forget about everyone around you. Forget about what you sound like. Just worship God with everything you have.
Oh,
Someone say that this week, and I thought about it. He said, I want to be like the Apostle John, who was 92 years old, and he says in the book of Revelation, and I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. And that's a good way to go. Like we want to keep this throughout our whole life, that we worship God, that we put this time aside to come to church and worship Him. Amen. How are you doing this week? Good. Welcome to those that are watching online. We're glad you're joining us, especially to any of our Ascend Church members. If you're not back in church, we miss you. We long to see you. I hope you come back soon. And welcome to our Tom and Tina and Ray. Where's Ray? We haven't seen you for a while. Come on. We missed you so much. So good to have you back with us. I'm sorry if I'm missing anyone else, but I just spotted them as we walked in. So glad to be in church this morning. We want to welcome anyone who's visiting for the first time. We love having guests in our church. And if you're here for the first time, we don't want to embarrass you in any way. We just like to have the ushers hand you a visitor packet. So if you're here for the first time, would you mind just waving your hand that we could welcome you? Anyone here for the first time who's not shy? Come on. Welcome, welcome. So good to see you. God bless you. And in there's a couple of things. One, the most important being the guest card. If you wouldn't mind filling that out at the end of the service, we pass an offering bucket by. Just drop it in. Thank you for joining us today. Praise the Lord. Just want to, we're waving over here, Roxroy as well. And for our members, for those in attendance, we pass an attendance register during the service. It helps Pastor keep an eye on the flock. So thank you for filling that out. If you have any changes, email or phone, just put it on there. It helps us keep our records straight. So thank you for doing that. I want to remind you of the ways to stay in touch. First of all, is if you don't get our weekly notice of what is being preached at church or any special announcements we have, you can just text the word ASCEND to 313131 and you can keep updated. The five different ways to watch us is on Facebook, which you can watch live, or you can watch after the service is over. You can also share it, which is a great way to reach out to people. On our Ascend Church website, ascendchurch.us, comes up, should come up on there. And on our app, if you don't have the app, there's a barcode on the front of your seat. Just scan it, get the app. There's over 100 messages on there, right from Sunday. As we film them, they write on there. It's such a blessing to you, so go ahead and take advantage of that, as well as a whole lot of other things there. And then on YouTube, Ascend Church Jupiter, and of course, course, on Sunday mornings at 7:30 on Fox 29. So there's various ways to watch, but nothing beats being here in person. Amen? That's my feeling, always has been. So thank you for doing that. I just want to remind you, as we go into the message, that our four main purposes of our church, that don't change. It's we want to help people, first of all, to know God better than what they do if they don't know Him at all. We want to introduce them to Him. And then we want to help you grow in every area. Second of all, to find freedom in every part of your life. Thirdly, discover your purpose. And lastly, to make a difference with your life. I want to make a difference with my life. How about you? Amen. I'm ready for the word. How about you? Praise God.
Thank you, Jill. Praise God. Good morning, everybody. It is great to see you. It is great to be in God's house. Psalm 122, verse 1, David said, "When they said to me, 'Let us go to the house of the Lord,' then I was glad." I'm glad to be in God's house today, and I'm glad that you are here as well. Aren't you? Glad to be in God's presence. The worship team did an awesome job, as they always do. Thank you to our musicians and our singers. Give them a big round of applause. Would you do that? Really, I tell you, I really encourage you. I'm not trying to get down on anybody, but I really want to encourage you. The worship part of the service, let me tell you, it does more for you, the worship, than it does anybody else. The Bible says to put on the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. In other words, when you begin to give God praise, you're putting on a garment of praise. And what happens is heaviness begins to leave. Depression begins to leave. Sadness begins to leave. There's a transformation that occurs in your own heart when you give God worship. Let me tell you, worship doesn't change God. He's still God before you worship Him and after you worship Him. But worship changes you. And there's such a, like my wife said, there's a real shift that occurs. When we start the service and we start worshiping God, there's a shift that takes place in the atmosphere around you, because you begin to enter in and experience the presence of God. The Bible says that we enter into His presence, into His gates with thanksgiving. We enter into His courts with praise. The way that you enter into the presence of God is by worship. That's why we start out with worship. Amen? So I want to encourage you to not miss any of the worship, because really it is so good for you. Something happens to you when you worship God. Amen? Did I lose my sound? Do you still hear me okay? All righty. Well, I trust that you had a good week this week. One person had a good week this week. Who had a good week this week? Who's going to have a great week this week coming up? Amen. Amen. Father, we thank You for Your goodness, Lord. You are great. And You are greatly to be praised. We thank You, Lord, for every blessing that You've bestowed upon us. We thank You for Your word, Lord. Your word is what brings us freedom. Your word is what builds our faith, builds our hope. Lord, as I declare Your word today, I'm trusting You, Father, that You will help me, that You will anoint me, that You will speak through me today, that, Lord, You will bring transformation in every person's life in the name of Jesus. Do you agree with that? Say amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you to the band. Are we all ready? Media team doing a great job today. Thank you so much. Man, you guys have got it. You got it working like clockwork, like they say, right? Praise God. Well, hi, I'm Steve Barry. I'm the pastor of Ascend Church here in Jupiter. If you live anywhere near Jupiter, I want to invite you. We would love to have you come and visit our church one Sunday. I promise you, we have the friendliest people They will make you feel so welcome, and your kids will have fun at Ascend Kids Church. So we hope to see you soon, don't we, everybody? Amen. Now, today, I want to speak to you about totally committed. The Scripture says in 2 Chronicles 16, verse 9, it says, "For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is loyal toward him." Now, in the Message translation, it says, "God is always on the alert, constantly on the lookout for people who are totally committed to him." Who's God looking for? Who's God searching for? His eyes are searching throughout the earth. Who's he looking for? He's looking for people who are totally committed to him, that he can show himself strong on their behalf. Amen? Amen? Let me tell you, God is totally committed to us. He demonstrated that by giving his life for us. And he wants us to be totally committed to him. Committed to our faith, committed to building his church, committed to serving in his church, committed to making disciples. He wants us to be committed to our family, to our spouse, to our friends, to our job. There's something that happens when you become committed. The word committed means to be wholeheartedly dedicated, or to be loyal to a person or to a cause, to an activity, to a job. It means to be committed means that you are willing to give your time, to give your energy to something that you believe in. That's what it means to be committed. And some synonyms for committed, in other words, some words that are very similar, is the word allegiance, dedication, devotedness. Anytime you see devoted, that's talking about being committed. Attachment, faithfulness, loyal, dependable, trustworthy, reliable. These are all associated with being committed. Amen? Now, the first thing that I want to speak about is being committed to the Lord. The Scripture says in 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 61, "May your hearts be fully committed to the Lord, our God, to live by his decrees and obey his commands." The Bible says that we are to be wholly committed to the Lord, committed to live by his decrees, committed to obey his commands. You see, when you're committed to God, you live your life in obedience to the Word of God. The more committed you are to the Lord, the more you are obeying the Word of God. You obey what God says. If you're not committed to obey the Bible, then you're really not totally committed to God. And everybody said, amen. Proverbs 2 verse 8 says, "He pays special attention to his loyally committed ones." God pays special attention to people who are totally committed. He's searching for people who are totally committed to him, people who put God first in their life, and pleasing God and following his will is their number one priority. Jesus was totally committed, isn't that right? Jesus said in John chapter 6 and verse 38, "I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me." Jesus said, "I didn't come to do my will. I came to do the will of the Father who sent me." He was committed to obey his Father. Isn't that right? And Jesus told us in Matthew chapter 10, in verse 37, he said, "Whoever loves father or mother or son or daughter more than me is not fit to be my disciple. And whoever comes to me must follow in my steps and be willing to share my cross and experience it as his own, or he is not worthy of me." The Bible says that we are to follow after Jesus' example, that we are to love him and put him first above everything else in our life. Let me tell you, following Jesus really requires total commitment. Nothing and nobody is to come before the Lord in your life. The scripture says in Romans 10 verse 9, it says, if you openly declare that Jesus is Lord and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Now, that's a scripture that you hear me quote every Sunday, because that's how we are saved. That's how we go to heaven. That's how we become a child of God, is by believing that Jesus rose from the dead and by confessing, declaring that Jesus is Lord. Now, the key point that a lot of people miss is that you've got to declare Jesus is my Lord. And the word Lord means master, or one who has authority over another. When you say, Jesus, I make you Lord of my life, that means I'm not Lord of my life. I'm not in charge of my life anymore. Lord, I am surrendering and giving you authority over me, that I will follow you and do what you say. That's what it means to make Jesus Lord. Now, in Luke chapter 6, verse 46, Jesus said, why do you keep calling me Lord when you don't do what I say? In other words, if you don't do what Jesus says and what the Word of God says, then Jesus really is not your Lord. When He's your Lord, you do what He says. In the Passion Translation, it says, what good does it do for you to say that I am your Lord and Master if what I teach you is not put into practice? If you don't do the things that the Word of God teaches us, then really, if we don't put into practice Jesus, then really isn't our Lord. If Jesus has authority over you, you do what He says. And if you don't do what the Bible says, then really, He's not your Lord. You are Lord of your life. In the early church, in the book of Acts, when large numbers of people were being saved, the church in Jerusalem, they sent Barnabas to them. And what did he say to them? What was Barnabas' message to these new believers? In Acts 11, verse 23, it says he encouraged all the people to remain solidly committed to the Lord. He encouraged them to remain committed to the Lord. Now, I understand why he would need to encourage them to remain committed, because a lot of people make a commitment to the Lord, but they don't stay committed. I pray that you will remain totally committed to the Lord till Jesus returns or till you go and meet him. In Acts chapter 2, we see three things that the early church were committed to. And I believe we should be committed to these three things as well. In Acts 2:41, it says, that day, about 3,000 people were baptized and they were signed up. They committed themselves to the teaching of the apostles, to the life together, which means fellowship. Many translations says fellowship, the common meal and prayer. So they committed themselves to the teaching of the apostle, doing life together, fellowship, in other words, your church family, and then thirdly, to prayer. The apostles' teaching, life together, that means your church family, and to prayer. The Living Bible says they joined with the other believers in regular attendance at the apostles' teaching sessions and at the communion services and at the prayer meetings. Now, I want to talk in point 2, 3, and 4 about these three things: being committed to the Word of God, the teaching of the apostles, to your church family, fellowship, doing life together, and thirdly, to prayer. In Psalm 138, it says, you have magnified your word above all of your name. Do you know that God has placed his word even above his name? That's how important the Word of God is. When you're committed to the Lord, you're committed to doing what the Word of God says. When God is first in your life, then the Word of God is first in your life. In James 1, verse 25, it says, the person who continues to study God's perfect laws that make people free. I like that. the person who continues to study God's perfect laws that make people free. Let me tell you, the more you study the Word of God, the more free you'll get in your life. And who remains committed to them will be blessed. People like that don't merely listen and forget. They actually do what God's laws say. The Bible says those who are committed to study and do the Word of God will be blessed. See, when we stay committed to do what God's Word says, we will be blessed. Amen? And let me tell you, being obedient to doing what the Word of God says starts with reading your Bible. Because how are you going to be committed to do what the Word of God says if you don't know what it says? It starts with reading your Bible. I encourage you to use our daily Bible reading plan. I think it's available online on our app and out in the lobby we have them. That's what I use to read my Bible. It's a yearly daily Bible reading program. See, being committed to God's Word, it also means coming to church every week to hear God's Word. And everybody said, amen, that's right. Being committed to the Word of God, they were committed to attend the apostles' teaching session. Well, it means being committed to be in church to hear God's Word every Sunday. In Acts 2:42, it says they joined with other believers in regular attendance at the apostles' teaching sessions. Number three, I encourage you to be totally committed to your church family. God wants us to be committed to our church family. The early church committed themselves to life together or to fellowship. How many of you know that church is made up of people who are committed to Jesus and committed to one another? That's what a church family is. We're committed to Jesus and we're committed to one another. Galatians 6 verse 10, it says, take advantage of every opportunity to be a blessing to others, especially to our brothers and sisters in the family of faith. God says we must be a blessing to everybody, but we must especially be a blessing to our brothers and sisters in our family of faith. Do you know this is your church family? Amen. Now, how can you be a blessing to your family of faith if you're not part of a church? Being planted and committed in God's house. You see, God brought you here, and He wants you to be planted. Don't let anything cause you to leave. Psalm 92 verse 13 says, those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. And what does it mean to be planted? To be planted means to be deeply rooted, to be firmly fixed. When I go out every day, I don't wonder where my palm tree is going to be. I know he's planted. He's there every day, same spot, because he's planted. See, something that's planted is immovable. Nothing can move you. The enemy's going to do everything he can to try and get you to disconnect from God's house and from your church family. But let me tell you, if God called you to this church, and if you leave where God put you, you won't be satisfied somewhere else. And what I've seen it happen so many times, people, God put them in this church, He planted them here, then for whatever reason, they get offended or whatever, and they leave. And the next thing they know, they'll go visit another church for a while, but then eventually they stop going altogether because they're not where God put them, and they don't feel satisfied. I've seen it 1,000 times. I want to encourage you to stay committed, to stay planted in God's house. I read that church attendance in the United States has declined 20% in the last 20 years. Well, that doesn't account for 2020. Those stats are old. Because between 1937 and 1976, 70% of Americans attended church. From 1976 to 1999, 68% of Americans attended church. From 1999 to 2019, 48% attended church. What about 2020? Boy, millions of churches have closed around the world and here in the United States because of the coronavirus. Many Christians have not returned to church, and can I tell you, some of them never will. Some of them never will. The scripture says in Hebrews 10, verse 25, let us not neglect our church meetings as some people do, but encourage one another and warn each other, especially now that the day of his coming back is drawing near. The Passion Bible says this is not the time to pull away and neglect meeting together. Let me ask you, is there ever a time? Is there ever a time to stop meeting? The answer to that is no. There's never a time to stop meeting. This is not the time to pull away and neglect meeting together, as some have formed the habit of doing. In fact, we should come together even more frequently, eager to encourage and urge each other onward as we anticipate the day dawning. That means Jesus' return. Now, you know, it takes between 21 and 66 days to form a habit. If you do something for between 21 and 66 days, it'll become a part of your life. So now, we've got millions of Christians all around the world who have formed the habit of not going to church. It's now become a habit, which is exactly what the enemy wanted. Can I tell you, the more you miss church, the less you miss church. The more you miss church, the less you have a desire to go. Can I tell you that church is not my idea, it's God's idea? Jesus said in Matthew 16, verse 18, I will build my church, and the powers of hell will not conquer it. Jesus said, I'll build my church. The church is part of God's strategic plan for your spiritual growth. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11, it says, these are the gifts God gave to the church. The apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, pastors, and teachers. It's called the fivefold ministry gifts. Their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work and to build up the church, the body of Christ. This will continue until we all come to such unity in our faith and knowledge of God's Son that we will be mature in the Lord, measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ. Do you know that God sent me to be a gift to you, to help you to mature in the Lord and to equip you to do the work God called you in his kingdom? That's why you come to church every Sunday. Thank you for your enthusiasm this morning. I'm greatly encouraged, but I will continue preaching regardless of that. Jesus is the one who established the church, and he gave the fivefold ministry gifts so that we can grow and mature and be equipped. People who say they don't need church, they're not rejecting my plan. They're rejecting God's plan. We need to be committed to a local church, committed to doing life together, committed to the fellowship, to our church family. That's where you make godly relationships. How can you be a blessing to your brothers and sisters in the family of faith if you're not part of the family of faith? I encourage you to be committed to serve in your church family. The scripture says in Galatians 5, verse 13, God has called us to live a life of freedom. But don't view this wonderful freedom as an excuse to do anything you want. Constantly love and be committed to serve one another. God wants us to be committed to serve one another. When we come here on Sunday, we have many people that are serving in media, serving in the worship team, serving in the ushers and the greeters, serving in kids' church. We have people that are serving. That is what the scripture's talking about, to be committed to serve one another. Don't just always let people serve you. You need to serve them. Church is a place where we serve others. God wants us to be committed to serving. Do you know right now I'm serving you? Because I spent hours and hours, days this week, preparing this word from the Lord to serve to you. I thank God for all of our servant leaders who serve. If you're not serving on one of our teams, can I encourage you? Get on one of our teams. I mean, this Saturday, we got a barbecue for our ushers and greeters. You're welcome to come join us. Get on the team. Get on the media team. Help out in the kids' ministry. But get involved. Serve the Lord. Also encourage you to be committed to build God's house by bringing other people to the house of God. Jesus commanded us to go preach the gospel and make disciples. In Matthew 28:19, he said, wherever you go, make disciples of all the nations. Wherever you go. In Mark 5:19, Jesus said, go home to your family and your friends and tell them everything the Lord has done for you and how merciful he's been to you. God wants us to tell others what he has done in our life. Amen, somebody. Come on, I don't mind if you get a little bit, you know, free in this church. I don't mind if you're like, yeah, Pastor Steve, I don't mind to get some feedback. I can't stand when it's absolutely quiet. I don't like that. Amen. 2 Corinthians 5:20 says, we are ambassadors of the anointed one who carry the message of Christ to the world. Say, I am an ambassador of Jesus and I carry the message of Christ to this world. It says as though God were tenderly pleading with them directly through our lips. So we tenderly plead with you on Christ's behalf. Turn back to God and be reconciled to God. In Luke 14:23, Jesus said, go out into the highways and the hedges and compel them to come in that my house may be filled. Say, thank you, Lord. This house is filled. Multiple times every Sunday. Come on, say, Lord, thank you. You're using me. I'm your ambassador. I'm bringing people every Sunday. I'm making disciples. See, God wants his house full. God loves the world. He wants everyone to be saved. And we are his hands. We are his feet. We are his voice. I encourage you to be committed to bring other people to God's house. Bring other people into the kingdom of God. Amen. I encourage you to be committed to build God's house with your tithes and offerings. Be faithful and committed to build the house of God with your giving. The scripture says in Malachi 3:10, bring all of the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. You see, the tithe is what brings them, what puts food in God's house. And try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such blessing, there will not be room enough to receive it. In 2 Corinthians 9, it says, you will honor God through this genuine act of service because of your commitment to spread the good news of Christ and because of your generosity in sharing with them and everyone else. Now, Paul's talking about giving. He says, because of your commitment to give, really, that's your commitment to give is connected to your commitment to spread the good news about Christ. Amen. Amen. God wants us to be committed to give and to tithe in order to spread the gospel, in order to build his kingdom. Can you say amen? I committed to tithe when I was 17 years old. My first job, 17, I was working at the bank. It's been 40 years now. I'm still committed to tithe. Can I tell you, it's the best investment that I ever made. I've bought many things in my life. Some of them I regret. But I don't regret a dime that I've invested into the kingdom of God. Because let me tell you, I know that I'm laying up treasure in heaven. We're getting ready to move house pretty soon. And I'm looking at all the stuff in my closet I'm going to be throwing out. The stuff I bought that I'm going to be throwing out. It really has no value. Everything I've given and stored up in heaven, I haven't lost one dime. It's waiting. The Bible says in Matthew 6:19, Jesus said, don't hoard treasure down here where it gets eaten by moths and corroded by rust, or even worse, stolen by burglars. Stockpile treasure in heaven where it's safe from rust and burglars. It's obvious, isn't it? The place where your treasure is the place where you most want to be and you end up being. Where your treasure is, that's where your heart is. In other words, when your heart is for the Lord and for the kingdom of God, it's very easy to see that, because where you spend your money tells me what's in your heart. God will bless you in this life on this earth. When you are a faithful tither and giver, God will bless you. God will prosper you. But let me tell you, the rewards in eternity are even much greater. I'm staying committed to tithe and give. How about you? I'm staying committed to that. How about you? One, two, there's a few people. I want to encourage you, number four, be committed to prayer. The Bible says in Acts 2:42, they committed themselves to the teaching of the apostles, to the life together, and to the common meal, and to prayers. They committed themselves to prayer. The Bible says in Colossians 4, verse 2, devote yourself to prayer, which is another way of saying commit yourself to prayer. Be committed to prayer. In Luke 18, verse 1, Jesus taught the apostles to keep praying and never stop. Jesus himself was committed to pray. In Mark 1, verse 35, it says, the next morning, Jesus got up long before daylight. He left the house while it was dark, and he made his way to a secluded place to give himself to pray. In Matthew 14, 23, he climbed the mountain so that he could be by himself and pray. He stayed there alone late into the night. In Luke 6, verse 12, Jesus went up onto the mountain to pray, and he prayed to God all night long. Let me tell you, if Jesus, the Son of God, needed to pray in the morning, pray in the evening, and pray all night long, you and I need to be committed to pray. To pray every day. Be committed to pray daily. Be committed to pray with your church family. We pray every Sunday before church. Of course, 99% of you are not here, but we pray every Sunday from 9:15 to 9:45. Every other Thursday, we have a prayer and worship night. It's coming up this Thursday. We have a prayer and worship night. Unfortunately, very few of our church members attend. And I really believe that needs to change. We need to be committed to prayer, committed to pray together with our church family. Amen, somebody. Be committed, number five, to your faith. Hebrews 6, verse 12 says, be like those who stay the course with committed faith and get everything promised to them. If you want to get everything that God's promised you, you've got to be committed in your faith. Hebrews 10, 35, therefore do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward, for you have need of endurance, so that after you've done the will of God, you may receive the promise. You see, if you're going to receive everything God promised you, you've got to have some endurance. You've got to have some commitment. It says, the just shall live by faith, but if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. See, when you're committed, there's no drawing back. When you're committed, there's no looking back. There's only moving forward. Stay committed to what you're believing for. God doesn't like it when we draw back from our faith. Keep on believing Him. Keep on trusting Him. Keep on fighting the fight of faith. Holding fast to your confession of faith. Amen. Okay, so we sold our house, I think I told you last week, and then they canceled the sale one day before. What do I do? I'm still trusting God and declaring my house is sold in the name of Jesus. In fact, it's sold for more than the last time. We're going to get more this time. I'm still believing God and declaring the word of God. I'm not backing down on my faith one single bit. The Bible says in Hebrews 10, 23, we must continue to hold firmly to our declaration of faith. Because the one who made the promise is faithful. In other words, what that means is when you're trusting God for something and you're confessing and you believe, you know, because that's how you use your faith. You're speaking God's word and you say, Lord, I thank you. You meet all my needs. What the Bible says is hold on to that declaration of faith. Don't let it go. Don't let anything discourage you from stop believing God. Just, I don't care, man, if you're in the fire, God can protect you in the fire. If you're in the lion's den, God can protect you in the lion. It is never too late with Him. You know, we all have opportunities to give up on what we're believing for, walk away from an uncomfortable situation, slack off, not be our best. But if you're going to receive the promises that you believe in God for, you have to stay committed. Can you say amen? You can't be moved by how things look, how things seem. Don't give up on a child because he's not doing right. Don't slack off at work because you're not being treated right. You got to have a made-up mind, man. You're in this for the long haul. Amen? It may be difficult. You may have a good reason to walk away, but don't take the easy way out. Be committed. Be committed to your spouse. Be committed to your family. God's word tells us exactly how we must treat our spouse, our children, our parents. And if we commit to do it, we'll have a happy family. In Ephesians 5, verse 25, it says, husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her. You can't get more committed than that, can you? And verse 33 says, every married man should be gracious to his wife, just as he is gracious to himself, and every wife should be tenderly devoted to her husband. Every husband, love your wife like Christ loved the church, gave himself for her, and every wife, be devoted to your husband. That's being committed to your spouse, being committed to your marriage. Can you say amen? Amen. Matthew 19, verse 5, Jesus said, for this reason shall a man leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. So then they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, let no man separate. That's talking about commitment, isn't it? In Ephesians 6, verse 1, it says, children, obey your parents, for this is right, the right thing to do, because God placed them in authority over you. Honor your father and your mother. This is the first of God's 10 commandments that ends with a promise. And this is the promise, that if you honor your father and mother, yours will be a long life full of blessing. And now, a word to your parents, don't keep on scolding and nagging your children, making them angry and resentful. Rather, bring them up with a loving discipline the Lord himself approves, with suggestions and godly advice. That covers everybody, parents, wives, children, everybody. Be committed to your family. Be someone that they can count on. Amen? The scripture says in 1 Timothy 5, those who won't care for their relatives, especially their own family, have denied the true faith, and such people are worse than unbelievers. God wants us to be committed to care for our family, to love our family. Amen? Number 7, be committed to your friends. The Bible says in Proverbs 17, a friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. The Passion Bible says a dear friend will love you no matter what. A true friend is someone who walks in when everybody else walks out. A true friend will be there for you, not just when you succeed, but when you fail. And I realize there's times when a relationship may come to an end and you've got to move on. But don't let that be the pattern where you bail out if they're not meeting all your demands or living up to all your expectations and you bail out. No, people make mistakes. Good people blow it. People that love you can let you down. God rewards people who are loyal, who are consistent, people who stick with someone even when they don't deserve it. You know, many years ago, Jim Baker, who used to be the head of PTL, a huge television network, probably before some of your time, but he went to prison for not handling things properly. He admitted he made some mistakes. It was a big scandal all over the world, really. And when he was about to be released from prison, I think he was sentenced to like 38 years in prison. He got more than a serial mass murderer. You know, the worst murderer, he got more jail time. But when he finally got out, Franklin Graham contacted Jim Baker. And he said, the Graham family want to rent a house for you, and we want to buy you a car. And Jim Baker said, Franklin, you can't do that. I've got too much negative baggage. You don't want to be associated with me. You'll be criticized. Franklin said, listen, you were our friend before you went to prison, and you'll be our friend afterwards. The first Sunday Jim Baker got out of prison, Ruth Graham called the halfway house where he was staying. She asked the man in charge for permission for Jim to come to church with their family. And so he approved, and when Jim arrived at church, they took him down to the front row. They set him next to Franklin Graham. There were two empty seats next to him. He didn't know who they were for. But right before the service started, a side door opened, and here came Billy and Ruth Graham, sat right next to Jim Baker. Billy Graham was saying to his friend Jim, I'm committed to you. You can count on me. I'm with you in the good times, and I'll be with you in the tough times too. Let me tell you, you can tell who your true friends are, not when everything's going great, not when you succeed, but when you fail. And I'm asking you to be a loyal person. Stay committed to the people God's put in your life. They are going to make some mistakes. They are going to do things you don't understand. They don't need another judge condemning them. They don't need more guilt and shame. They've got enough of that already. You can help love them back into wholeness. Be the friend that walks in when everybody else walks out. You're the friend that's there for adversity. When you're committed, when you're loyal, it doesn't mean you approve of everything they do. You're simply showing them the mercy that you would want God to show you. You're being a healer. You're being a restorer. Can you say amen? Amen. Let me tell you, they got enough people pushing them down. Let's be people that lift people up. Too many people today are fair-weather friends. They love you in the good times, and they walk away in the tough times. But our attitude should be, man, you can count on me. I'm committed to loving you. I'm committed to being good to you. I'm committed to defending you. Let me tell you, your relationships will go to a new level if you would stop basing your commitment on someone's performance and let them know you're in it for the long haul, through thick and thin, whatever may come. Because that takes the pressure off. There's a freedom, a security, when they know beyond the shadow of a doubt that you are for them. Amen. Stay committed to your marriage. Stay committed to raising those children. Stay committed to your friends. They may make some mistakes. Give them some grace. Don't be a fair-weathered friend. Be committed in the good times and in the tough times. Can you say amen, somebody? Be committed to your dreams. Don't give up on those promises God put in your heart. It may be taking longer than you thought, but let me tell you, God's still on the throne. He's a faithful God. He's already set the time to bring it to pass in your life. Stay committed to your church. Stay committed to your job. Be a loyal person, someone who can be counted on day in and day out. You may not always feel like it. There's going to be good days, and there's going to be tough days. There's times when it's exciting, other times you feel like giving up. That's when you've got to be determined. You've got to say, man, I'm going to do the right thing even when it's hard. I'm committed to this marriage. I'm going to love you even though you don't deserve it. I'm committed to this job. I'm going to be my best even though my supervisor is not treating me right. I mean, I'm committed to my dreams. I'm not going to give up just because I don't see anything happening. I'm going to keep believing. I'm going to keep on expecting, keep on thanking God. I know it's on the way. Let me tell you, God rewards consistent, faithful, committed people. Too many people today are wishy-washy. They'll love you just as long as you perform perfectly for them. But if not, man, they're out of there. You know, they'll be their best if you keep them encouraged. They'll pursue a dream as long as they're getting good breaks. But their commitment is based on things going their way. When it's difficult, when it's taking longer than they thought, then they want to get discouraged and start to slack off and start and give up. Well, Steve, I don't like my job. They don't treat me right. That's why I show up late. That's why I play on the computer half the day. No, be committed to your job. Number 8, Colossians 3:23 says, work hard and cheerfully at all you do, just as though you were working for the Lord, not merely for your masters, remembering that it is the Lord Christ who's going to pay you, giving you your full portion of all he owns. He's the one you're really working for. You're not working unto people. You're working unto God. He's the one who's keeping the records. Amen. And the Bible says in Psalm 75, promotion and power come from nowhere on earth, but only from God. He promotes one and deposes another. Let me tell you, promotion comes from God. Well, they don't pay me enough, Pastor Steve. I'm undervalued. If they'd pay me more, then I'd be more committed. Then I'd do more. No, if you don't pass the test of being your best where you are right now, showing up with a good attitude and doing more than you have to do, then the promotion won't come. They may not be paying you what you're worth, but remember, your job is not your source. God is your source. And the Bible says, whatever you do, do it as unto the Lord. Stop looking to people and start looking to God. He controls your destiny. He controls the whole universe. He determines how high you're going to go. Nobody, no supervisor, no company, let me tell you, can stand against God. He knows what's happening. He sees what's unfair. When you stay committed to your job and you keep being your best day in and day out, despite who doesn't like you, let me tell you, God will make it up to you. He is your source and he has the final say. Amen. Say, well, Pastor Steve, it's difficult to be committed to my job, committed to my marriage, committed to this dream. Nothing seems to be going my way. If it was easy, everybody would do it. But God chose you because he knew you can handle it. You've got the courage, the strength, the talent, the anointing. You're not weak. You're not lacking. You're full of can-do power. You didn't come this far to stop now. Amen. Let me tell you, the people that see dreams come to pass are the people who stay committed. I've heard it said, on the road to your destiny, halfway through, every person will be tempted to give up. Some turn around and go back. Others stay committed and keep on moving forward. You know, what's interesting is both people travel the same distance. One goes halfway and then goes back to where they started. And the person, you know, that reaches their goals are people who are committed. They outlast that difficulty. Amen. Committed people stick with the relationship. Even though they've got a right to walk away, committed people go the extra mile. They do more than they have to do. Is there an area in your life you're tempted to give up, slack off, not be your best? I believe the Lord is saying to you today, be totally committed. Be faithful. Stay loyal. Committed people reach the fullness of their destiny. Let me tell you, the dreams God put in your heart, the promises you're standing on, may be taking longer than what you thought that it was going to be. You don't see any sign of it happening, but it's a test. Are you going to get discouraged and give up what you're believing for, or are you going to stay committed? Keep doing the right thing, knowing God is in control of my life. He sees your faithfulness. You're going to come into your season of favor. Your dream is right up in front of you. God blesses and promotes committed people. And lastly, I want to say, be committed to the leaders and the mentors that God has placed in your life. Joshua was committed and faithful to Moses. Timothy was committed and faithful to Paul. Elisha was committed and faithful to Elijah. In 2 Kings 2, the prophet Elijah was about to be taken up to heaven in a whirlwind, and he had an assistant named Elisha. Elisha was like a son to Elijah. He took care of Elijah, went with him everywhere, made sure he had everything he needed. In 2 Kings 2, verse 2, it says, Elijah said to Elisha, "Stay here, for the Lord has told me to go to Bethel." Now, Elisha knew Elijah's going to be taken away. And he could have thought, well, I'm just going to stay. You know, his life's almost over. He's about to be taken away. But instead, you know what he said? He said, "I will never leave you. As surely as the Lord lives and you live, I will never leave you." So they went together to Bethel. A little while later, Elijah again said to him in verse 4, "Stay here, for the Lord has told me to go to Jericho." And so again, Elisha replied, as surely as the Lord lives and you yourself live, I will never leave you. So they went together to Jericho. And then a little while later, again, in verse 6, Elijah said to Elisha, "Stay here, for the Lord has told me to go to the Jordan." But again, Elisha replied, "I will never leave you." So they went together to the Jordan. Three times Elijah tried to get rid of Elisha. Three times he said, in effect, "You've done enough. You've served me all these years. You've been faithful. You've been loyal. Take some time off. Go relax, Elisha." But Elisha wouldn't hear of it. His attitude was, "I'm committed to you, Elijah. I'm going to stick with you through thick and thin. I was with you in the good time when you were performing miracles. I'm going to be with you in the tough times as you come to the end of your life. I'm committed to you." Nobody would have faulted Elisha if he walked away, because his boss told him to. He had a good reason to. But he wouldn't slack off. He wouldn't take the easy way out. He was totally committed. He was loyal. He was someone that you can count on. Amen. And it says in verse 8, Elijah folded his cloak together and struck the water with it, and the river divided. The two of them went across on dry ground. When they came to the other side, Elijah said to Elisha, "Tell me, what can I do for you before I'm taken away?" And Elisha replied, "Please let me inherit a double portion of your spirit and let me become your successor." "You've asked a difficult thing," Elijah said. "If you see me when I'm taken away from you, then you will get your request. But if not, then you won't." And as they were walking along and talking, suddenly a chariot of fire appeared, drawn by horses of fire, and it drove between the two of them, separating them. And Elijah was carried by a whirlwind into heaven. And it says, Elisha saw it. He cried out, "My father, I see the chariot and charioteers of Israel." And as they disappeared from sight, Elisha tore his clothes in distress. Elisha picked up Elijah's cloak, which had fallen when he was taken up. And Elisha returned to the bank of the Jordan River, and he struck the water with Elijah's cloak. And he cried out, "Where is the God of Elijah?" And the waters divided, and Elisha walked across. Now, do you know that Elisha went on to perform twice as many miracles as Elijah? Here's the point. He would have never seen the double portion if he had not stayed committed to Elijah. If he'd left Elijah the first time that he told him to, or the second time, or the third time, he wouldn't have received that double portion. And there's going to be plenty of times when you're tempted to walk away from a dream. It's been too long. Doesn't seem like it's ever going to happen. Or walk away from a marriage, or walk away from a church, or walk away from a job. Well, they just don't appreciate me. Let me tell you, you could slack off, take the easy way out, but what you can't see is there's a double portion right up in front of you. And if you stay committed when it's hard and do the right thing when the wrong thing is happening, when you are loyal and consistent and faithful and committed, let me tell you, a double portion is coming your way. Double favor, double honor, double resources. God will reward you for staying committed. But this double portion is not for everybody. It's not common. It's not ordinary. It's for people who do more than what they have to do. Can you say amen? It's for people who go the extra mile. It's for people who don't quit. It's for people who stay committed. I imagine that after Elijah told Elisha to leave him that third time and he wouldn't do it, he must have thought to himself, this is one stubborn boy, man. He won't change his mind. He's determined to take care of me. That's the way that you have to be if you want to see God's best. There's got to be this stubbornness. I'm committed to the Lord. I'll never turn from Him no matter what happens. I'm committed to this marriage. Leaving is not an option. I'm committed to my children. No matter what they do or don't do, I'm going to be there for them. I'm committed to my church. God planted me here. I'm committed to give and build God's house. I'm committed to serve. I'm committed to be my best at my job. Amen. Be committed. Don't let anybody talk you out of it. Let me tell you, don't slack off because it doesn't seem to be fair. When you stay committed, God will make things happen you could never make happen by yourself. Suddenly things turn around. Suddenly your marriage improves. Suddenly your business takes off. Let me tell you, many of you have passed this test. You've been committed. You've been doing the right thing. I want you to be encouraged today. You're close to that double portion. You're close to a breakthrough. You're close to meeting the right person. You're close to that new level in your life. Can you say amen? Amen. Listen, I know I preached long. I've got to wrap it up here today. But let me just say this to you. In my life, the best things that have happened to me in my life have been because of commitment. When I was 16 years old, I committed my life to Jesus. And I've made mistakes. The Bible says a godly person falls down 7 times, but he keeps getting up. Because you're committed doesn't mean you never make mistakes. But I'm committed when I've made a mistake and I've missed it. I've said, Lord, please forgive me. I get up and I stay committed to the Lord. I committed to Pastor Theo as my mentor when I was 17 years old. I was working out at the gym one day and I was listening to a teaching on tape on my Walkman. It was Jerry Savelle. And he was talking about how when God told him to go work with Kenneth Copeland, and the Lord told Jerry Savelle, I want you to stick to him like glue. And as I heard Jerry Savelle say that, I heard the Lord speak to my heart, said, I want you to stick to Pastor Theo like glue. And I stuck to him. It's 40 years. He's still my pastor. I still look to him for advice and for counsel. But I served Pastor Theo for years, 12 years, and I would defend him. If someone said something wrong about him, I would defend it. Let me tell you, I was at church every Sunday morning. I was at church. We had Sunday night service. I was there at midweek service. I was there at prayer services. I did whatever Pastor Theo asked me to do. He asked me to be a youth leader. I became a youth leader. He asked me to run a small group. I ran a small group. He asked me to go to Bible school. I went to Bible school. He asked me to teach in Bible school. Whatever Pastor Theo would ask me to do, I would do what he would ask me to do. I was committed to him. If someone spoke bad about him, I defended him. When God spoke to me to go start a church, I was 27 years old. I prayed. I said, Lord, I want you to speak to Pastor Theo. He's my pastor. I'm not going to leave unless you speak to him, because that'll confirm it to me, him, and it'll confirm it to me. And I'm still committed to Pastor Theo today. When I was 18, I got married to my wife, Jill. I committed to her. The best things that have happened in my life and the most important things have required total commitment. When I was 20, I answered God's call to the ministry. 37 years later, I'm still committed to the call of God in my life. In 1999, we left the church in Cape Town, 2,500 people, and we came to start this church. And I want to tell you, I'm committed to this church. Have I ever been tempted to quit? You better believe it, baby. I have been tempted to quit. But I'm telling you right now, I won't, because I believe God called me here. This is my destiny. I believe God's got a great destiny for our church. I'm committed to this church. Amen. We've had challenges and we've had disappointments. I'm still committed, and I'm asking you to be committed, to be totally committed to God, totally committed to the Word of God, totally committed to your church family, committed to prayer, committed to your family, committed to your job. Amen? Amen. Do you receive this today? Come on, give God thanks and praise if you receive this today. Father, I pray for every person here today and every person watching this. And I pray, Father, that they will be totally committed to you, totally committed to your word, totally committed to your plan, to the destiny you have for their life. Lord, I thank you that you are stirring up within us an endurance and a commitment, Father, not to be wishy-washy, but to be sold out to you, to be sold out to your kingdom. I pray for every person, Lord. I thank you that you've got a great destiny for their life, and I thank you the more they commit to you, that the more they will see that destiny unfold in Jesus' name. Just keep your heads bowed. Keep your eyes closed. Come on, Pastor Jill. Keep your eyes closed. I want to pray right now before we close the service. There's anyone here, if you don't know the Lord, if you've never made that commitment to Jesus, the Bible says if you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, and if you confess with your mouth that he is Lord, you will be saved. Here's the question. If you were to die today, can you say that you know for sure that you would go to heaven? Can you say that you know for certain that you would spend eternity for heaven? Or would you have to be honest and say, Pastor Steve, if I died today, I hope I'd go to heaven. I do believe in God. I'm a member of such and such a church, but I'm not absolutely sure. Listen, I'm not asking you if you belong to a church. I'm not even asking you if you believe in God. I'm asking you today, if you were to die today, do you know for sure, for certain, that you would spend eternity in heaven? Because let me tell you the good news. You can know that. You can know that. You can walk out of here today and you can know that every sin you ever committed, it's forgiven, it's washed away, and you can know for sure that when you die, heaven is where you're going to spend eternity. I want to pray for you. I'm not going to embarrass you. While heads are bowed, while eyes are closed, if you say, Pastor Steve, please pray for me. Include me in that prayer. I want to make sure that all is right, all is well between me and God. If that's you, just lift your hand up right now. Come on, lift it up high. I'm looking for hands. If your hand is raised, you're included in this prayer this morning. All right. The Bible says if... come on, Jill. Come and receive the offer. I didn't see any hands raised, so you go ahead.
Good preaching. Good preaching. Amen. Don't be in a hurry. I know, sometimes people watch the time. Don't be in a hurry. Once a week, right? Once a week, you're sitting in church. Now is the time in the service where we have the opportunity to give. I'm going to read three verses. Pastor Steve talked about this, but I just read this from my Bible in the Passion Translation this week. Jesus was speaking in Luke 16. He said, use the wealth of this world to demonstrate your friendship with God by winning friends and blessing others. Then when it runs out, your generosity will provide you with an eternal reward. He said, the one who faithfully manages the little that he has been given will be promoted and trusted with greater responsibilities. But those who cheat with the little they've been given will not be considered trustworthy to receive more. If you've not handled the riches of this world with integrity, why should you be trusted with the eternal treasures of the spirit world? And then he goes on later and he says, you can't serve both God and money. So Jesus didn't have a problem talking about money, right? He just said, you better get it in order here, because money is just a test. You can handle money in the right way. God can trust you with more important things, right? I just wanted to share with you because I don't share this very often, and I do want to put a board up with some of these pictures. But as you see, your faithful giving, we appreciate it. And it makes a change in people's lives. And sometimes you see the change, and there's some things we do that you don't see the change. And one of the ministries that we support from our church is Covenant Ministries. In that gentleman standing on the platform with the gray hair is Jan van der Merwe. We know Jan and Sue. They were involved in our church in Cape Town for many years. They ran our whole children's ministry. They Rhema graduates. And Jan is Yan travels into Africa as Covenant Ministries, and he does all kinds of different things. He has, these are pastors and leaders that he was training. He does Bible school, he does online Bible school. Over 10,000 pastors and leaders have benefited from the courses. So he goes and teaches in person, he trains leaders, and he has all these different, they had a graduation going on. This is all a result, and we give into his ministry every single month, enabling him to do it. And then they do some community improvements. They're building wells over here. They do ministry to young people. They have a great ministry to street kids. So there's a lot of kids that are just on their own from young, 7, 8 years old. They're on their own, and they bring them in, and they minister to them, and they provide them with clothes, but then they teach them skills. And there are many kids that they teach them computer skills, sewing. They've got all kinds of practical things here. They're ministering, teaching these young girls feminine hygiene. They do all the natural stuff as well as the spiritual stuff. And it's I really admire what they do, because they take a little of what they've, Yan and Sue, and he just went out. And he's just like, I'm going to start where I can. And it's just spread out. This is a school that was just being built that we gave towards. So I just want to thank you. Because of your faithful giving, you're doing more for eternity and for more people than what you see. And we're sowing into eternal things. Amen. So there are envelopes in. Go ahead and clap. There are envelopes in the seats right there, and there are various ways to give that will come up on the screen. Those that are watching online, you can go ahead and give. Pastor Steve, why don't you pray over the offering?
Amen. Let's do that. Father, we thank you for every giver. We thank you for every committed, faithful tither. Lord, you promised to open the windows of heaven and pour out such blessing that we don't have room enough to receive it. And you promised to rebuke the devourer. I thank you, Lord, for rebuking the devourer. I thank you for divine protection. I thank you for the windows of heaven open above every giver and tither. In the name of Jesus, Lord, I thank you for bringing increase, bringing blessing, bringing promotion. I thank you that blessings are overtaking them, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Do you agree with that today? All right, listen, before you go home, thank you, ushers. Is everyone ready to give today? Before you go home, please don't forget this week, my wife has a Zoom Bible study on Wednesday, 10 a.m. in the morning, 7 p.m. in the evening, every Wednesday. And then this Thursday, we have a night of prayer and worship. Abel is going to be leading it. Come join us from 7 o'clock. Experience the presence of God. We pray, we worship, we just let the Holy Spirit move. Don't forget to take this invite card that's on your seat and invite someone to church next Sunday. Say, I'm committed to bring someone to church next Sunday. Thank you so much. We'll see you. God bless you. Have an awesome week, everybody. We'll see you next Sunday. Amen. God.